Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sportsbet BS Hotline, state your emergency.
Yeah, it's me partner's group. Me mate Dave, I reckons he bought in.
Okay, hang up now.
What?
And join Sportsbet's Bet With Mates. It's group betting without all the BS. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Summer Breakfast, an abbreviated edition today, just the hour in us after matters in Qatar. We've got a heap of sports news to get to. We'll hear from Jordan Ngoi, Justin Langer as well. But we need to start with the events that we've just witnessed in Al Wakrah in Qatar, where, well, the Socceroos started well, but in the end, a real golf in class shone. And ultimately, it was 4-1 to the defending champions, France. Two goals in either half after the Socceroos started so brightly. And a great pleasure to welcome this man. He's hung around kindly for a few minutes to have a chat with us, having just called the game. SEN soccer expert, former Socceroo, of course, Archie Thompson's with us. G'day, Archie.
Hey, mate.
Should we start with the positive or the negative?
Well, mate.
What's your work?
August. Or did you start with a negative and end with a positive? I don't know. I feel that we started the game really well. Composed. We knew we were going to be up against it. They've got quality all over the park. And I know that the French team are missing some key players, but you look at that starting a lineup. Majority of them play for Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. Tottenham. So already you're thinking, okay, we're behind the eight ball there. But we started well. It was good. But then, just lapses in concentration when needed. But if I'm going to keep spinning on the positive here, but with Craig Goodwin, he pops up because scores the winner. The first goal. And this is a boy that at 31 years old, I think he is, didn't look like he would go into a World Cup. And within the space of a couple of years, he's one of the best players in the A-League. And he's on the world stage against France, opening his account. Now, throw a negative question at me now, because it's all pretty much negative from all the...
Our World Cup update is for Kraken, of course. You can start your crypto journey with Kraken. To get in the game, visit kraken.com. Broadcast sponsor, of course, of SEN's coverage of the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022. So it was 4-1 in the end, and it could have been more. And the Aussies were, let's be honest, a tad punch drunk by the final whistle, unfortunately. But the goal in the ninth minute, Harry Suter, really impressive. Laser crossfield ball, Matt Leckie's touch, the delivery, and then up pops Adelaide United's Craig Goodwin with the roofed finish.
Yeah.
That was magnificent.
Well, that's what needed to happen for the Socceroos to score against a great opposition like the French. All the moon stars all aligned.
Three big moments of quality.
It was the solar eclipse, and then it was the wonderful finish. And it was like one of those moments where dare we dream. Like, you look at all the pictures across areas where they were watching it in Fed Square. Always when the Socceroos are playing in a World Cup, that's always full. Everyone was jumping over everyone, and that was the excitement. And, unfortunately with football, it's played over 90 minutes, not 11 or 9 or whatever the goal was scored. Like you said, it was just a big golf in class.
Yeah, Rabiot scored from the equaliser from that recycled set piece in the 27th minute. Olivier Giroud, the veteran, who probably shouldn't be there because Karim Benzema is absent, so he scored a brace. And then I wanted to get to Kylian Mbappe, who terrorised Australia right throughout the 90 minutes, scored himself, set up several others. And poor old Nathaniel Atkinson, who had the task at right back of stopping him, who was left isolated a lot throughout the 90, but it's easy to say and perhaps more difficult to execute. Could he have been given more help, Nathaniel Atkinson?
Well, the thing is that, in those sort of positions, when you've got someone of that quality, normally one of those midfielders or central defenders comes across to help. But the fact is that when you've got that much speed, it's so difficult for a midfielder to get over there in the first place. And unfortunately for... it happened to Aziz Bajic on the other side. I can't forget because
Dembele.
It was a foot race at one stage there where I saw, Aziz Bajic had a good 3 yards to close that ball down, and Dembele just went past him. You've got to have defenders, and there's not too many around in the world that can match that sort of speed. And Mbappe, well, wow, The guy's incredible. I mean, not many people can keep, and we're talking some of the world-class defenders can keep him in his pocket, in their pocket.
Yep.
And again, just the quality shone through. And but it was a couple of mistakes early on. Like I said, the first goal, lapse in concentration with the second phase of a corner kick. And, you know, Nathaniel Atkinson just dawdles a little bit. Wasn't helped with Jackson Irvine's ball, which was a bit bobbly. At that level, you can't dawdle on the ball.
Yep. Mitch Duke's long-range strike didn't miss by much. Jackson Irvine hits the woodwork, of course. So there's what-if moments. But, look, the French probably could have added a couple more as well. So where does it leave us, Archie? We needed to keep things respectable. You know, we saw there was no coming back from that 4-0 loss to Germany back in 2010 where we went 1-1-1 in our three games. Tunisia next at 9 o'clock on Saturday, PM our time.
Yeah, it's hard.
It was a draw in that game keeps it open.
Which has helped us. Ideally, you'd like to win both those games, but they're no slouches. Any team that's in a World Cup are no slouch. So it's obviously going to be difficult, but you know, anything's possible. We just need to forget about this one. We knew that it was always going to be difficult to get any result. So it's just... dust yourself off the canvas, which we're on, and see what we can do.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about stoppage time, which has been a real talking point. There was a funny tweet from Sam Wallace during the match saying, Qatar has the world's largest naturally occurring resource of stoppage time. What's going on with the stoppage time?
Well, mate, I know, because I would have loved to have been tucked up in bed a lot earlier. And then even for this one, I looked and it was like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I know that they scored a couple of goals, but
there's an injury
minutes.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just before you depart, Jared's called in from West Melbourne. He's got some thoughts on the match, Archie, and perhaps some positives to take out of it. G'day, Jared.
How you going, fellas?
Well. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment, you know, I think it's a big achievement for us getting there. I think this generation of our squad and our whole team, you know, I don't think we're really there, but it was a heartwarming moment for me and my family just to stand round and sing the national anthem with the team, and I thought that was wonderful.
Oh, good on you, Jared. Good on you. You know, it is an achievement to be there. We're up against, if we want to rewind all the way back to Peru and Dancing Wiggles and such, then it was an amazing achievement to be there. But now that we are there, Jared, I guess the competitiveness in the Aussie psyche says we want to go on and do something.
Yeah, well, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. So Denmark-Tunisia was the draw in the other game, which does at least keep it open in Group D. Just before you go, Archie, Pete's in Paran. He's got some thoughts. He's proud of the Australian performance this morning as well. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, similar, Jared. We're extremely proud in our household to be Australian. I mean, what Jared said is absolutely spot on. There's over 200 countries that compete for a place. Only 32 make it. We just got there, which with a team we had, the injuries, all the rest of it. Amazing effort, incredible effort to be on the world stage. To score a goal in that sort of a caliber of a game against the caliber of players we were playing against, phenomenal. That's not taking away anything from us. And we watched most of it and had to leave for work and listen to the rest on SCN. But the effort, the score does not matter. It's the show that we've put on the park. And our guys are doing a phenomenal job. Honestly, the result does not matter here. We're competing with ourselves more so in terms of being able to show our best, put our best foot forward, and that's what we're doing. I'm telling you, we can hold our heads up high proudly today.
Good on you, Pete. Great to have your call in this morning. And the French just so deep, aren't they? No Benzema we spoke about, no N'Golo Kante we spoke about, others missing as well, but Mbappe, Giroud, Griezmann, some real quality there in the end. So it's 4-1, but Tunisia-Denmark drew earlier, so at least we can keep things positive, Archie. The door is ajar in Group D, and who knows what could happen against Tunisia at 9 o'clock on Saturday night.
Exactly, and that's the sort of message I love to hear from supporters and fans, because it can be easily, when you go down 4-1, there can be a lot of negative spin when it comes to supporters and what they think about stuff. But it is, we should be proud that we're there, and we've just got to compete. And like I said, the door's not completely shut. We've got a foot in there and we're stopping it. And it might be hurting because they're slamming that door, but it's still an opportunity.
Great opening goal to take out of it as well. And Craig Goodwin speaking now to the broadcasters, SBS over there in our Wakra. Great job this morning, Archie. Well done to you and Jordan Canellis, who did a superb job bringing the game to life here on SEN. So enjoy a bit of shut eye and we'll speak again soon.
Cheers, brother. Thank you.
Great Archie Thompson joining us there. Melbourne Victory legend, former Socceroo. Great to have him in the SEN studio. The Kogan Money credit card, by the way, packed full of value. Melbourne Airport parking, nothing beats it. $12 a day parking at Melbourne Airport. And as you know, Chemist Warehouse are the real house of fragrance this Christmas. A lot of your texts coming through, your immediate reaction, your snap judgments, to borrow a phrase from Jared Waitley. I'll park them and read them out as we go. Weather update, though. City Power, Cook Street Roadworks, Fisherman's Bend. Detours in place. 12 degrees. I thought we were going to get to a little bit warmer today, but top of 17 is the latest prediction.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
The Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Questions without notice.
Welcome back. Question without notice today can be reaction without notice, if you like. 4-1 France in the end over the Socceroos. An emphatic response to Craig Goodwin's ninth-minute opener over there in Qatar. In the other games, Saudi Arabia, as we said, 2-1 over Argentina in the result that shook the world. Mexico and Poland, scoreless draw. Robert Lewandowski missing a penalty for Poland. And Denmark-Tunisia, which is of relevance to the Socceroos in Group D, also with a 0-0 draw, which keeps things relatively wide open at the moment behind France in our group. Some of your texts coming through on the 40 Winks temper. Alan in Canberra, far out. We were never winning the first game. The comp starts now. As long as France win both their remaining games, we only need a win and a draw to go through. But that won't be easy. But you never know. Go Aussies. John, the French were just like Winks. Hit top gear when they needed to and left us flat-footed. And Chris sums it up pretty well. I'm actually not disappointed with that result. France was so fast, so clean on the ball. They're a machine and not even at full strength. And then there was this one, an achievement to be there. Really? We get a soft pathway to the World Cup and still struggle to make it. I can tell you, to that nameless text, there is no soft pathway to the World Cup. It is a long, torturous campaign. And in our situation in Australia, 90% of those games played overseas, not on home soil, by virtue of COVID and quarantine and lockdown restrictions and such, had to go into two sudden death playoffs to get there on the road, the UAE, and then the long way around against Peru, all with a squad that they tell us isn't of the same quality that we had, certainly going back to the 2000s, which shows you probably how special that group was. So I wouldn't have thought it was a soft path to get to the World Cup. And it is achievement to be there each and every time. Assuming France win all their games, says Adam in Geelong, Australia only need to beat Tunisia, draw with Denmark to go through the next stage due to Denmark's draw with Tunisia. I tell you though, Tunisia look good today, as Ed White said, and they've got a big following too. A lot of Tunisian supporters in the stands over there in Qatar. Our performances in the last few World Cups highlight how great our team was in the 2000s. And Dean, France just too good. Great effort by the Socceroos. Keep your chins up, lads. So at least we're not Argentina, says Block and Ring. Would they be doing it tough in Argentina at the moment? A Lionel Messi penalty to get things going. It looked like business as usual for the Argentines. They three goals in the first half, all are chalked off due to being offside. And then the Saudis struck emphatically in a five-minute burst in the second half. Plenty of football news going around as well. Our football, AFL, of course. You're welcome to continue the conversation on the World Cup if you like. I'll park those texts and any calls that you want to make as the show goes on up until 9 o'clock, 1300 736 736, of course, on the ENS open line.
Football is life.
Yes, it is life. But we'll just park life for a moment because Jordan DeGoey has spoken on the Unlaced podcast. Now, if you're unfamiliar with that podcast, it's hosted by a former footballer, soccer player in Jake Barker-Daish, whose career ended at the age of 21. He had injuries and setbacks and, I guess, a loss of connection to the sport. So this podcast is all aimed towards showing the other side of the athlete. And he had Jordan DeGoey on this week, who has spoken in great detail, I suppose, about his life now and the ADHD diagnosis and him lifting the lid on finding a life balance on that. It was when DeGoey, you'll remember, revealed after that trip back from Bali that his latest incident in that nightclub over there, that he'd been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in 2021, which he said explained some of his risk-taking behaviour. And he lifted the lid on it probably more than we've heard from him so far, the Collingwood star, on the Unlaced podcast.
It's almost like this hyper-focus and then just a massive drop-off. So, like, people can last the whole day and just cruise along the day, where I'm, like, balls out all day. And then I'll be like, I'll crash, and then I'm balls out again, then I crash and I'm balls out. Like, that's just how I am. That's how I work.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I can't sit still. I can't go home and put the TV on and watch a movie. I can't do that. Like, I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
So for me, like, learning about it, it's just like you learn all these triggers. Like, you know, like, if we're having drinks, it's like I'll drink till I'm drunk. Yeah. Like I can't. It's not one or the other.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
like you can just
yeah, you
go.
You don't do anything half-assed.
No, I'll never do anything half-assed.
He's honest. He's open, and he's honest, Jordan Ngoi. He did finish the season well, though, didn't he? And again, showed his quality, I suppose, and the footballer that he can be, and the difference he can make if it can all be harnessed. If he can, you know, for lack of a better phrase, keep the blinkers on and focus in season. He went on to discuss the support around him now, and also his contract. So we might actually play a little bit of audio. This is Jordan Ngoi discussing his contract latest when it comes to the Unlaced podcast.
You got to like do all these other things, and these are all potentials. You know, you could potentially go here, you could potentially go there. And then it gets to this point again where it's like decisions need to start being made.
Mm.
And it's like for me, it was like I always knew where I wanted to be, and that was at Collingwood. And then it was just trying to work out to get everything in a position where I could be at Collingwood, if that makes sense.
For as long as possible.
For as long as possible, I wanted to stay there. I wanted to be with the group. I've loved everything about the joint.
Mm.
So when it finally happened and went through, it was just like I was just drained. Like I was so
it's like you were drained.
Yeah, I was drained. I was just happy. It was signed. It was done. And it was like I knew my future. And now I could finally just go, okay, I can breathe. Like I know where I'm going to be. Don't need to stress. Don't need to get anxiety. Nothing. Just relax, kick back, and just play. Like go away or go play golf or whatever it may be. It was like I could finally do that again without constantly having these thoughts in the back of my head that because at the end of the day, you got to start trying to picture yourself in other positions. Yeah, that's probably why I was so mentally drained. But at the end of the day, it worked out really well.
So Jordan Ngoi there, of course, re-signed now at Collingwood until 2027. The first 2 years of that new deal have those behavioural clauses attached. It was the contract that was the source of a lot of focus during the season, and the AFL Players Association getting involved in that as well. Some other footy news yesterday, just quickly, was Liam Shields now looking bound for North Melbourne, as reported on the AFL website. Now, this has been long speculated, long rumoured. When he did announce his retirement from the game, it was thought that perhaps that move to North Melbourne might be off, but he now looks poised to reunite with Alistair Clarkson at Arden Street via the pre-season supplemental selection period. So that's one to keep an eye on. Some experience and some great culture in the change room at North Melbourne, some 3 months after the three-time Hawthorn Premiership player did retire and depart from Hawthorn.
Struggling with back pain? Time to try Keezer and go through life stronger with Keezer. It's time for a sports update.
Just watching that Craig Goodwin goal again. It was an absolute beauty in the ninth minute for the Socceroos. The Suter crossfield pass, Leckie's control and cross, and then Goodwin's roofed finish. Magnificent. But that is about as good as it got for the Socceroos after that. Mitch Duke just going wide from distance. Jackson Irvine hit the post as well. But then the French went into full mode. They were very, very impressive. France 4, Australia 1. Rabiot equalised 27th minute. Olivier Giroud with a brace, 32nd and 71st minute. And then Kylian Mbappe, he got his goal in the 68th minute after absolutely terrorising Australia throughout the course of the 90 minutes. So it's France 4, Australia 1. Repeating the news, Tunisia in that draw with Denmark 0-0, which is a good result for the Socceroos. Some of the texts coming through. France, very impressive. But at 2-1 and 3-1, Australia still just passed the ball around the back in the back third. Never looked to attack. Very negative. Only looking to take the safe option. Pathetic. I think there's probably an element of going into your shell a bit too in moments like that, isn't there? Where France are in full flow and their confidence is up. And it might be easy to retreat into your shell a little bit if you are the Socceroos. But, says John in Clayton, great to hear some positive calls about our great team from all the negative calls prior to the game. Proud to be an Aussie. And Michael in Launceston down in Tassie, let's be positive. It takes 4 years to qualify between tournaments. Only 32 teams make the World Cup. France are star-studded world champions. Let's be proud we are there and giving it a go. Young Aussie team and building to the future. Keezer, go through life stronger with Keezer. Elsewhere in sport overnight and yesterday, it's another Brisbane Lion crowned league best with Ali Anderson. Wasn't she the surprise winner at the W Awards last night? So after Emily Bates won the league BNF last season, Anderson polled 21 votes. So two ahead of Richmond's favourite Mon Conti, Adelaide's Ebony Marin off a further vote back. Jasmine Garner also among the favourites on the night, but it was Ali Anderson who was the winner. And to illustrate the surprise of this result, Anderson didn't even make the final cut for this year's All-Australian team, which was announced earlier on in the night, and she finished 11th in the AFL Coaches Association AFLW Champion Player Award. So not sure what that says more about, the All-Australian selection or perhaps the level of shock at Anderson winning the league best and fairest, perhaps both. But you have got to go back, I think, when it comes to the men. It was Matty Prittis in the 2014 Brownlow, wasn't it, who obviously won football's biggest individual honour, the Brownlow, but not good enough that year for the All-Australian team. That was going back to 2014. So congratulations to Ellie Anderson, who has, of course, a AFLW Grand Final to play this weekend against Melbourne, and Daisy Pearce looking to end her career with a premiership. How did the records tumble at the MCG yesterday in the cricket? Thankfully, the rain didn't, at least not for long. But what a show, and what a show of dominance from Australia over England. Probably the sort of dominance you rarely see at this level. Not many there to see it. The official number, 10,406. I don't know about you, but watching on TV, I reckon there couldn't have been 1,000 there for the first couple of overs. Is this what you get when cricket matches are scheduled for TV, for broadcast purposes? You know, the last ODI in Australia until 2024, but the public aren't dumb. It was a meaningless series straight after a World Cup, and then this was a meaningless dead rubber within that meaningless series. Midweek in Melbourne with the weather threatening. Only 42,000, though, across the three games or thereabouts, and the MCG does look horrible when it's empty. You could certainly hear the ball off the bat, and there was a lot of ball coming off bat across Australia's 48 overs. A 221-run demolition job on the end. In the end, on an England side who probably didn't really want to be there. And that reunited partnership of David Warner, Travis Head at the top of the order, again made sweet music. So it was a dominant 269-run partnership, the second highest partnership in the nation's ODI history. They did only reunite at the top of the order for this series after, of course, Aaron Finch's ODI retirement last month, and they only fell 15 runs short of breaking their own record that they set in 2017. So this pair, in 13 innings together, having a look at it, have scored 1,106 runs as an ODI pairing at an average of 85.07. And that 5 for 355 is the highest ODI total at the MCG after England captain Jos Buttler won the toss and elected to field. So Travis Head, for his part, unbelievable performance from him, just as well he reviewed and used that DRS when he was given out LBW in the third over. Made 150-plus. David Warner with 106. He's 19th ODI 100. We'll get to Justin Langer in a moment, who has made some astounding comments on his demise as coach of the national team. Elsewhere in cricket, the Sri Lankan cricketer Dhanushka Gunathilaka was granted bail on Thursday, his second bid for freedom. It was backed by a $150,000 surety provided by a friend of a friend, quote unquote, and a further $50,000 to be paid by the cricketer. Manchester United have confirmed overnight that Cristiano Ronaldo will leave the club effective immediately due to mutual agreement. An explosive recent interview, of course, with Talk TV. Ronaldo said he did not respect the manager, Erik ten Hag, had put him on really shaky ground at the club. He rejoined in August 2021. He did win 8 major trophies, became a superstar, Cristiano Ronaldo, with the Red Devils between 03 and 09. Tony's called in. He's on the road. He wants to have his say on the Socceroos and their performance this morning, going down 4-1 to France in Qatar. Welcome, Tony. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, good morning, mate. Look, I saw the game in its entirety, and in hindsight, I mean, look, hindsight's a lovely word, but in hindsight, Australia probably erred by actually scoring first and so early, because after that, France just went into overdrive. And to actually concede those 4 goals within 3 or 4 minutes of each second goal is just amazing, and it's just a star-studded lineup that they've got. And I'm just doing a bit of research on the actual French team. This Kylian Mbappe, he's only a young man. However, he's on €1,690,000 per game.
Yep.
And that's just mind-boggling.
It is.
It certainly puts our salary cap into a different sort of mixture, doesn't it?
No salary cap in France League One, Tony. He plays his football for PSG, of course, and he's a superstar of the game and showed his skills today, no doubt about that. I don't know if you can err by scoring first, but nevertheless, we did, and I think everyone was thankful to take some sort of positive out of the match if we could do that. 20 years ago, the cricket, it was played in January. You get 70,000. Tuesday night in November, grouse fixturing. And I like this one. Can we have a chuckle about this? It is a cheap shot at the Giants, but this text just dropped. It's okay. Just check with Dave Matthews from GWS. He assured me there were over 50,000 there at the G yesterday. Can we laugh about that? Highest score at the MCG and only 48 overs. You're right. Lost 2 overs due to rain and still belted 355. So it was an awesome batting performance yesterday by the Aussies. We better take a break. Back after this, Justin Langer has made some headlines overnight.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
No Scoob today. He's up rescuing his head of cattle from some flood. Flood-ravaged areas of Victoria, but we'll catch up with him tomorrow at 6 o'clock when we return to normal scheduling. Michael in Richmond has a classic tall poppy. Do the critics realise that soccer is Australia's fifth sport in comparison to the French's first? Amazing effort. Could have prevented one of their goals, and we were so close to getting our second in the first half. We are better than Tunisia, Michael says, so we can still get through. I would have loved to have gone to the cricket. Unfortunately, I was at work, as were the other 30,000 who would have gone. 10 degrees and rain threatening is off-putting too. Play the game in early January. On a sunny day, you guarantee a crowd. That is from Andy. Billy, though, he is in Ascot Vale, as we know, and he's called in this morning. G'day, Bill.
Morning, Sam. Yeah, just quickly, just on the cricket before I get onto the footy. Where was that form 2 weeks ago? I wish they'd played like that in the T20 World Cup where it mattered. And secondly, I saw that the AFLW awards the All-Australian team and the All-Australian umpires, but was there an All-Australian coach?
I can't find any mention of that anywhere, Billy. I know there's an AFL-CA Coach of the Year, which I think earlier this year, so for last season, was mixed in here, but I haven't seen any mention of that either. So last night, the categories that I can best I can tell were Rising Star winner, obviously the All-Australian team, Mark of the Year, Goal of the Year, and the League Best and Fairest winner. So I can't see any Coach of the Year category here, Billy, unless it's been, you know, not reported.
Yeah, I thought they would have announced it last night with the whole team, but I was just surprised. But I think Craig Starsvich should get it, but also the Melbourne coach would be up there too.
Yep.
But I'm just surprised that they weren't mentioned it for the Coach of the Year with the whole team.
Good on you, Billy. Appreciate your call. I'm a bit surprised by that as well. Obviously, an AFLW grand final to feast on this weekend with Brisbane hosting Melbourne. Speaking of coaches, the former national cricket coach, Justin Langer, whose resignation / departure / sacking, however you want to term it, so polarised the sporting and cricketing world in this country. Well, Justin Langer has used a podcast to absolutely savage Test captain Pat Cummins, his role in his demise, the anonymous cowards, as he termed them, who leaked against him, and the Cricket Australia board for his unceremonious departure last summer. Now, as you're about to hear, Justin Langer did a lengthy chat with the Back Chat podcast, which is hosted by Will Schofield, a former Eagle, and Dan Const as well. He said that the brutal feedback was slow to come, and when it did come, he acted, he fixed things. They won a World Cup, of course. They won the Ashes. They were number one team in the world, and he was still only given a one-year contract extension. And as you're about to hear, while he welcomed that feedback and did something about it, he spoke out in anger of the whispering campaign in the media and those who were speaking behind his back.
You know, Brené Brown, you know, the great Brené Brown, the Canadian researchers' fear and vulnerability. And one thing she says, what's the number one thing in leadership today? She goes, oh, that's easy. Be honest. Clear is kind. Unclear is unkind. So tell the truth. We try and think we're being nice or think we're being soft and we're not clear. Be clear. Tim Payne was really clear with me. It was awesome. It was awesome. And like I'm clear, one thing I will always say, when people talk to me, they will never go to sleep at night wondering if it's the truth, and because it's clear, it's honest, it's kind. Tim Payne was honest with me. I thought, oh, Payne, I felt like jumping through the FaceTime and giving him a hug. Thank you so much. And then this is the killer for me, was that he gave me some feedback. Then I rang Finchy. I said, Finchy, because I had this meeting the night. I said, Finchy, he goes, I said, mate, we've been captain and coach for 4 years. He goes, yeah. I know, he goes, yeah, I've been a bit of pussy, haven't I? I don't like confrontation. I said, what do you mean confrontation, mate? Just tell me. So he'd tell me, I'm going, oh, yeah, cool. And he's going, what, you're not upset? No, no, what do you mean upset? This is so fixable. This is easy, mate.
So that was the honest feedback and the conversations Justin Langer had with Tim Payne and Aaron Finch. He also opened up on the chats that he had with the skipper, Pat Cummins.
And Pat Cummins said to me probably 5 times, oh, mate, this might be brutally honest. I said, Pat, there is nothing brutal about your feedback. What's brutal is I'm hearing it behind my back through the media or through sources. And everyone, no one's telling me. There's nothing brutal. Tell me. He goes, tell me. Oh, yeah, no worries. Great, mate.
So that's Justin Langer on Pat Cummins. Now, he said you know, you can't give someone feedback, do something about it to act upon that feedback, and then to have it end the way he did when they were winning again and the number one team in the world. He did say, and one of his big regrets, Justin Langer, was that he only spoke to the Cricket Australia board 3 times in 4 years, which is something he would change. I found that surprising. This is the feedback that he said he took on board.
The hardest thing for me of it all, I've never said this publicly, right? But I will see you guys will get some headlines probably. The hardest thing for me of all of it was I got the feedback. I did something about it. We won the T20 World Cup. We won the Ashes. We're number one in the world. I've never enjoyed coaching more. I still got sacked. That's the hardest thing. Because you can't give someone feedback, do something about it. It'd be like, imagine me saying to a player, says to me, oh, coach, I'm the best one-day player in the world. I'm the best test cricketer in the world. I want to get in the T20 side. I quite often do. I give them some advice. And they say, oh, thanks so much, coach. I want to go and work on that. Does, works on it. We pick him, give him the opportunity. He gets 5 man of the matches in the first 5 games. Well done. Actually, we're going to drop you anyway, mate, because we like someone better. Imagine saying that to a player.
Former coach Justin Langer there. I get the feeling that interview, that lengthy chat is going to be dissected many times over today. We'll take our final break here on Summer Breakfast. We'll be back to wrap up. I know Julian De Stoop has got a big 3 hours in him today, so stay with us.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
And just like that, we're out of time. Thanks to ENS, we're also celebrating the 12 weeks of Christmas. So this week, text in your nomination for someone who needs it to come a bit earlier. And on Friday, we'll be giving away, with the corn, the $1,000 voucher from ENS. Start the message with ES Christmas. And nothing's changed. You split either side of the fence when it comes to Justin Langer. It's either time for him to move on, he's kidding himself, or good on him. At least JL provided the harsh feedback to people's faces, unlike what happened to him, says John. Julian De Stoop is here for mornings. G'day, Jules.
Hey, Simon's
Hello,
been quiet.
Hello, it's Julian De Stoop.
Simon's been really quiet this one. Coxie, seriously, that is it for you.
He's done.
And we divided with the Socceroos. Seems like a lot of your callers have been proud of their performance, but are we all feeling that way, or is this just another example of the golf in class and that we're never going to be able to bridge that gap? And
that's a good question.
Was it disappointing? Graham Arnold said before the game, we won't talk about fatigue. He mentioned fatigue afterwards. So I'm just interested if there's a bit more anger out there amongst Australian football fans or not.
Simon Hill's assessment, France far too good ultimately. Positives, great start, super goal, chances for Duke, Irvine. Negatives, overrun in the second half. Goal difference now an issue, which is key, but have to learn for Tunisia, but all is not lost yet.
Guess who's coming on today? Who do you never hear on SEN or any radio? Australian sporting icon.
Would it be Dennis Lilly?
Dennis Lilly!
I just threw a dart.
Join us after 11.
A great man.
Yeah, Jules.
Sometimes needing new tyres can catch us by surprise. That's why Tyre Power gives you the power of Zip Pay and Zip Money. You can get what you need now, get back on the road safely, and pay for it later. Terms and conditions apply. So visit tyrepower.com.au or call 13 21 91.